Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Welcome to church this morning. For me, this is a quiet period after rushing around for Christmas and just a time to take stock. So before the activities of the new year, not that I have, that sounds awful, doesn't it? That sounds as though I'm going to be really partying over New Year, whereas actually I shall be cooking. But I hope you'll all enjoy a quiet, peaceful time around now. So we have a couple of things happening here. On Wednesday, which is New Year's Eve, there will be coffee as usual in our foyer. That's at 10:30. And then on Friday, the 2nd, it's Friday coffee. And we're asking you to bring your own potato. So people will cook that, a jacket potato, and provide a range of fillings. And you, while you are watching a film called The Public. So we hope this is a new venture. We hope you will enjoy it. And then next Sunday, I think it's next Sunday, my dates are all a bit skew-wave, but it's back to normal with Stephen Oliver at our usual 10:30 service. And now I think Mandy is preparing to lead us in our worship today. Thank you.
Good morning. It's good to be here. I'm going to be using one of my favourite Christmas books. It's called Cradle of Hope, and it's by the Reverend Ken Taylor. It's not brilliant poetry, but for me, the meditations have always made me think. I love the line when Mary has seen the shepherds and she says, and it says, she pondered these things in her heart. Let's ponder. Let's think deeply again about the most amazing story we've ever known. Christmas is about surprises, unexpected cards, unexpected callers, unimagined gifts, all reflecting and in the spirit of that surprising story. But it's so familiar now. Are we unsurprised? But think, rough shepherds leaving their sheep and running to see a baby. And a baby in a manger, of all places. And a baby who is God. Surely this is the most surprising thing of all. Not with a blast of trumpets, nor cracking the skies, no thundering roar, no blinding light, not making the world take notice, as we would have expected, but quietly, unobtrusively, unrecognized, almost unnoticed, the way he always works. And this surprising God has more surprises still in store for each of us, if only we will stop and ponder. And we have a hymn in our hymn book that reflects this. Who would think? You might not know the words, but you'll know the tune.
Thank you.
So let us pray. Light of the world, who came that no one should be in darkness, thank you for surprising earth with heaven on that first Christmas day. For the gift of Jesus, shown to shepherds and wise men alike, shown to Jew and Gentile, that all may believe. Help us this morning to look at these events with new eyes. Help us to see hidden meanings. Help us to look and ponder as Mary did. So be with us. Give us new visions of your truth, that we might walk into the coming new year in confidence and in hope. Amen. So let's start our pondering with Mary herself. How do you picture her? I think the Roman Catholic branch of the church sanctify her, and maybe we in response have virtually ignored her. And if we have, I think that's a great pity. Because if you follow her story throughout the Gospels, we can learn so much from her. That's a picture of the church in Nazareth that is obviously built to honour her. Sort of underneath the ground floor, there is a house that maybe is the house that Mary met the angel in. But if it isn't, it doesn't matter, because this is the church where you remember that. And as you go into the main part of the church, it's quite normal. There's an altar and there's pictures, etc., etc. But if you go upstairs, you are greeted by pictures and mosaics of Mary. And they've come from various countries of the world. And they're just amazing to look at. Each country has represented Mary almost as one of them. And the final one. Oh, sorry. That is the final one. I beg your pardon. I can't see them very well over there. I stood and I was amazed at how different the countries pictured her. Not as I would picture her, but maybe we normally picture her as the Mary on our Christmas cards. Like that? Yes? But is that what she was really like? We're going to listen to a poem from Iona. You're having all my favourite things today. You've got my favourite book, now you've got one of my favourite places. And it's entitled, I Am the Mary of Your Christmas Cards.
I am the Mary of your Christmas cards. I listen calmly while the angel brings me news that will shake my life beyond all measure. I accept what has been ordained for me. I am young and dressed in blue. I am the Mary of your Christmas cards. Despite travelling almost 70 miles on a donkey across a desert and giving birth in a stable, I am still immaculately clean and tidy, cradling my infant son, unperturbed by my surroundings. I am still young and dressed in blue. I am the Mary of your Christmas cards, welcoming shepherds from the nearby fields and strangers from afar. A person who treats such events as if they happened every day, calmly pondering them in my heart. I am still young and dressed in blue. But is this really me? Do you have any picture of me beyond that of Christmas cards? Where is your picture of me in the temple, as Simeon tells me how a sword would pierce my soul? The angel brought greetings and told me not to be afraid. So I am calm on your Christmas cards. But do you never see the terror in my eyes as I hear Simeon's haunting words? And I do fear what is to come. Maybe you have a picture of me 12 years later. But have I aged in your eyes? Am I calm and serene, frantically searching for my son, lost on return from the temple? He was calm, but not I. I was frantic. Do you have a picture of me 30 years after your first picture of me? Am I still dressed in blue? Are there lines on my face? Is my hair now grey? Do you see me at the wedding feast, recognising deep within that his time was coming and he would soon no longer be mine? Do you see me hurt by his rejection when he declared, "Whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother"? I knew that he had a greater purpose, but do not imagine that there was no pain for me in this. How I aged in those 3 years, but am I still young in your picture? Was I not grey-haired as I stood at the foot of the cross? Do you know what it takes to watch your son being crucified? Some parents still do. As they pierced his side, my soul too was pierced. Do you have a picture of me in tears, distraught at the anguish of my son? Or am I still the Mary of your Christmas cards? They laid him in a tomb. It seemed so final. It seemed I had lost him forever. Where was the angel now to tell me not to be afraid? My fellow countrywomen kept vigil. I was not alone in mourning, but you know what happened next. Do you let me grieve for the end I thought he'd reached? You know the end. You know the triumph of his resurrection, the kingdom without end. And knowing this affects your picture of me. I remain always young and dressed in blue, calm and serene, humble and willing, never allowed to show fear, hurt, anger, pain, and grief. For many, I remain the Mary of Christmas cards. If I am to be called blessed, please remember all I stand for. As you look at your cards this Christmas, please look at me and remember that this is just the beginning. Don't leave me in Bethlehem.
I hate to ask this, but would somebody pull the blind down, please? Thank you. No, it's this one. I think I'm right in saying that Mary is the only person present at the birth and the death of Christ. But maybe I'm wrong. My plea to you is make her real. Follow her life. Flick through the Gospels and see where she appears. She's not just in Bethlehem. You know, when Gabriel told Zechariah that Elizabeth, his wife, was having a baby, he argued. Typical man, you might say. And he was struck dumb for a while. No comments. But Mary, she had the courage to say yes to Gabriel when she was told that she would be with child. And don't you think she was scared stiff? Not yet married and pregnant, she would face utter disgrace. But she says yes. And look at the beautiful way that God encourages her through Gabriel. Gabriel tells her that Elizabeth, who we think might be her cousin, although way past childbearing age, is also with child. And Mary realizes that, well, she can't tell her parents, she can't tell Joseph, but maybe if I go and see Elizabeth, she will understand. And so she treks 70 miles to where Elizabeth lives, near Jerusalem. And it's Elizabeth who recognizes Mary's condition and the identity of her child. How they must have understood and supported one another. What songs of joy they sang, the Magnificats. And think about Joseph. He could have had Mary stoned to death, or at the very least thrown out of Nazareth. But after being told in a dream who the child is, he quietly marries her and protects her. Well, it was an easy pregnancy then, wasn't it? And she only had to walk 70 miles and give birth in a stable. She's courageous. Sometimes we picture her, don't we, just calm and serene. Do you really think she was like that? And sometimes she got it wrong, didn't she? She wanted to protect her preacher son and bring him home. And he replies with the famous words, "Whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother." She doesn't always understand what God is asking of her, but she hangs in there. And she follows him even to the cross and watches him die. Imagine that. Sadly, I think we're not told if Jesus appeared to her after the resurrection. She was certainly with the disciples in Jerusalem at that time. We're told in Acts chapter 1. Maybe the meeting was too emotional to be recorded. I think Mary can be the pattern for our discipleship. When God calls you to believe or to do a specific task, say yes. Don't worry if you get it wrong. you'll be forgiven. And you'll get encouragement on the way. Don't worry if you don't understand sometimes. But be prepared to know that sometimes the road may be hard, but the reward at the end is great. Look again at Mary. The deeper meanings come thick and fast. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for the example of Mary. Give us the courage to say an unequivocal yes to the message of the gospel. The world surrounds us with so much gloom and doom. Help us to raise our eyes above this and see for ourselves the real message of Christmas. We continue in prayer, remaining seated as we sing, O Little Town of Bethlehem. So if there's much we can learn from Mary, let's ponder about the shepherds. And we hear the story of the shepherds in Luke chapter 2.
This is Luke chapter 2, beginning at verse 8. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favour rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told.
So how do you imagine the shepherd? Well, we're very fortunate today in that we've got a real live shepherd with us. Here he comes.
I am the lowest of the low, the dirtiest of the dirty. I'm considered to be scurrilous, nefarious, and totally unworthy. That's not my self-assessment. That's not a judgment by God. It's a judgment by you townies, you urbanites, you who think that just because I live remotely, that I live on remote hillsides looking after my flock, that I don't belong to your society. Script. You reject me like you reject those people you don't respect, the tax collector, the dung sweeper. You don't seem to remember that I contribute to the agrarian economy in a big way, with my sheep providing wool, providing meat. Of course, it wasn't always like this. In the days of the patriarchs, shepherds were very important, very well respected. Israel was a nation of shepherds. And of course, there are shepherds in this story. Abraham, the founder of the Jewish nation, was a shepherd. Moses, the greatest of the prophets, was a shepherd. David, who became king, was a shepherd. And this new king, born from the line of David, is the greatest of all of these. Of course, there were shepherds in this story. This remarkable, interesting shepherd king was the good shepherd. The good shepherd who would sacrifice his life for his sheep. He walks with you. He rescues you when your world gets into a tangle. He knows you by name. He calls you by name. He would love you to follow him, to love him as he loves you, to love others as he loves them. And of course, he will lead you to pastures better than you have ever known. I'd like to read you a story of a time when Bernie and myself met a shepherd. It's unusual, it seems strange, but it's absolutely true. There was a stiffening breeze, but the sky was blue and the sun was shining as we left the village of Coniston and headed towards the old man. Our aim was to complete a circuit of the Coniston Fells. Our 11s were taken sitting on a large rock, looking towards Brim Fell, with Leavers Water far away to our right, and no sign of what was to come. Passing the beehive-shaped cairn on the top of the Old Man of Coniston, we turned north into a strengthening wind, heading for Swirl Howe. Walking was becoming increasingly difficult. Twice we were blown onto our knees, but we remained determined to reach our target. Suddenly, the clouds came scudding in from the west coast, and with them a hailstorm that created a total whiteout. No distinction between sky and ground. Visibility was down to a few yards, and it was difficult to follow the cairn-lined route. We gained an initial reassurance from the six men walking towards us from the opposite direction. But that was soon replaced by an unnerving feeling created by their audible wincing as the hailstones beat a tattoo against their bare legs. The hailstones turned to nuts to snow, and the silence was deafening. We plodded on, eventually coming to rest against a large cairn. But where were we? What a dilemma. Was this Swirl House with a safe route to the northeast? Or were we at Great Howe Crags with a dangerous route to the east? Suddenly, out of the cloud, appeared a border collie, closely followed by a shepherd. After a brief passing greeting, we headed off to the northeast, following the shepherd's footprints in the snow. However, within minutes, the footprints had disappeared under the incessant snowstorm. What now? The shepherd reappeared from behind us, and after overtaking us and disappearing into the cloud, never to be seen again by us, left a definite trail of footprints that led us downhill to below cloud level and to safety. Was that really a shepherd? Was it pure chance that brought him to that spot at that time? Was he destined to lead us to safety? You will have to make up your own minds. We do live in uncertain and changing times, but one thing that is definite, that will never change, is that the Lord is our shepherd, and we can trust in him. His love and concern for us is steadfast and is permanent. As commissioned by the angels, I bring a prayer for peace. Let us pray. Loving Lord Jesus, Prince of Peace, we look at the world sometimes and we despair. We see its greed, its corruption, its hatred and violence, and we see world leaders full of their own importance. Some claiming territory that they have no right to, and others claiming accolades for stuff they have not done. How will it ever change? We want to believe, and occasionally our hopes are rekindled by moves towards peace. Yet it is hard to keep believing when, time after time, such initiatives come to nothing. We pray, Lord, that the perpetrators of war, of violence, of cruelty, will have a change of heart and will come to realize that their actions lead to nothing but mindless destruction. We pray for the people of Gaza and Israel, for Ukraine and Russia, for the Sudan, for Syria, and for Nigeria. And we pray that the megalomaniacs of this world learn to adopt the humbleness that you, Lord Jesus, have shown us. Lord Jesus, Prince of Peace, we talk so glibly of peace but find it so hard to pursue. We speak of breaking down barriers and living in harmony, but when it comes to being peacemakers, we so often fall short. Forgive the many things within us that make for conflict, our pride, greed, envy and intolerance, our nursing of petty grievances and unwillingness to forgive, our preoccupation with self and lack of time for others. Make us instruments of your peace. Teach us to heal wounds rather than create them, to unite rather than divide, to reconcile rather than separate. Put a new spirit within us, the spirit of love and openness, acceptance and understanding, healing and reconciliation. May the peace we so often pray for begin here and now with us. We know how much you love us, Lord. Help us to be worthy of your great love and the sacrifice you made for us. Let there be peace on earth. Amen.
And so we sing, "It came upon the midnight clear."
Come on.
Is that not the most appropriate Christmas carol, Christmas hymn we can sing in 2025? Oh, hush the noise, ye men of strife, and hear the angels sing. And what of the strange story of the three kings, or wise men, magi, whichever you like to call them? Let's listen again to what Matthew has to say.
This is Matthew chapter 2. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod, magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route.
Luke mentions not the Magi. And most of our Christmas story comes from Luke. Always strikes me as so odd or prophetic that it's in Matthew that we get this story of the Magi. Gentiles like us. And yet Matthew's gospel was surely written with a special emphasis on the Jews. He constantly harks back to the Old Testament and proves, or tries to prove, who Jesus really is. Strange story. The way that Matthew wrote it is so very different from the story of three kings, of Caspar, Melchior, and Balthazar, which we've received from childhood. Matthew did not give their rank, their number, or their names, nor were they led to a stable, but to a house. Nor did he suggest their origins. What mattered most to him was where they did not come from. And they did not come from Palestine. They were not Jews, but foreigners. And the Christ child was for them too. That's the point. Christ is for everyone. And none is especially chosen. No barriers of race or gender. God has no favorites. The Magi also witnessed to that important truth that God is no respecter of people. God reveals himself not to Herodic politicians intent to keep their power or to be re-elected, not to religious leaders sure in their blinkered truth that they have a grasp on God. But God reveals himself to secular men, astrologers, who seek the future in the stars. He starts where they are and leads them by an unexpected path to an unexpected place, and at their journey's end to a most surprising king. Call them astrologers or kings or what you will, but make sure you ask where you can find the Christ. Be prepared to look in unexpected places and unexpected people. And don't be surprised to find God revealing himself to secular people who think that they can find the future in the stars. There are many stars, but only one to follow. There are many gods, but only one to serve. He will start just where you are and lead if you will trust him. However dark the way, his light will always guide. He may take you by a different road than you expected, but at your journey's end, you will find the Christ. And then think of the gifts they brought. Strange gifts to bring a child.
Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Strange gifts to give a child, and a child in a manger. But think as a man, how would he view them? Gold he would not welcome, warned us against possessions, could not serve God and mammon, never had 2 shekels to rub together. Incense is for special rituals and special buildings, but he could never be constrained by religion such as that. And myrrh? The fragrance to anoint the dead? Well, when those women came with leaden feet early on that morning to anoint his lifeless corpse, the stone was moved and he was up and gone. Myrrh, incense, and gold are little use to him. They are symbolic gifts, you say, that he is king and priest and saviour. But these are not the symbols Jesus brings to mind. Manger, towel, and basin, and cross more clearly spell his truth. But wait. Symbolic gifts could be symbols of the givers. Perhaps these three are symbols not of him, but signs of those who travelled. Their world set gold above all else, thought money could buy anything. Religion in their world was special rites and rituals confined to special buildings. And myrrh was right for them, for in their world everything grows old, decays, and dies. so frighteningly like our world today. This child changes everything. His love, far stronger than gold. His new religion, love as wide as life. And the life he gives is life eternal.
Stronger than gold, his new religion, love as wide as life, and the life he gives is life eternal. We sing, as with gladness men of old did the guiding star behold. So let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for all the blessings of Christmastide. Thank you for allowing us to ponder on the story of your birth once more. And as we stand on the threshold of a new year, we want to express our deepest gratitude for the blessings of the past year. Thank you for your faithfulness, your love, and your constant presence in our lives. as we look back on last year or this year, forgive us the mistakes we have made, the people we have hurt, the opportunities we have missed. Thank you for your gift of forgiveness and for the price your Son paid to achieve this. Help us to know and feel ourselves forgiven and free, not burdened with guilt and bitterness. Then give us the strength to go and forgive those who have wronged us. Fill us with your peace and your quietness that we can take wherever we go. And so we pray now for those that we know in need of healing of any kind, the bereaved, the sick, the anxious, the depressed. We name them in the silence. We ask that they will know your presence with them, whatever they face. Thank you for the new ministers you have brought into our circuit, for Debbie and for Stephen. And as we walk into a new year with them, guide us, that together we may be a real blessing for our communities and lead people to know for themselves your love. Heavenly Father, as we face both known and unknown challenges of the coming year, grant us strength and courage. Teach us to rely on you in every situation. Accept our prayers, Father, and be our vision as we walk into 2026. Amen. And let's end in confidence as we sing, I cannot tell why he whom angels worship should set his love upon us now or then. But this I know, that he was born of Mary, and so the Saviour of the world is come.
Thank you.
and some prayers for ourselves. We have seen a new star appear in the sky, prompting those who travel from afar to draw near to you. Lord Jesus, as we approach a new year, come to us anew. We have seen a child, wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger, weak and helpless, small and completely reliant on others. Lord Jesus, teach us to depend on you. We have remembered a humble girl from an ordinary background, chosen to bring hope into the world. Lord Jesus, bring new hope through us. We have heard again the angels singing, "Glory to God in the highest, and peace to all the earth." Lord Jesus, now let us take up their song. We have seen kings and shepherds alike, poor and humble, noble and wealthy, all bowing before you. Lord Jesus, unite us in community. We have seen, heard, and known afresh how you, infinite and incomprehensible, entered your creation, becoming humble and tangible, so that we might freely enter your presence. Lord Jesus, we look, we wonder, and we will follow. So let's say the grace to one another. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, be with us all evermore. Amen. Please stay for a cup of tea or coffee. Either take it into rooms 1 and 2 or bring it back in here. That's fine. And may I wish you all a very happy and blessed New Year.